listener. Hi, and welcome back to Broadsheet Around Town. I'm Emma Joyce, Broadsheet's features editor. And today we're speaking with probably the most in-demand comedian in Australia right now. To those who followed the Tasmanian comic on the festival circuits over the years, Hannah Gadsby has been a clever observationist and a captivating storyteller. But when the show Nanette first streamed on Netflix, Gadsby's profile skyrocketed. Nanette was a catalyst to a whole lot of change. The show went on tour for 18 months. Hannah published a best-selling memoir, and they followed up with new shows Douglas and Body of Work. The latter was titled Something Special on Netflix, and it recently won an actor award. Gadsby also fell in love, and they changed their pronouns. There's a new show called Woof, which kicks off in Sydney and makes its way to Melbourne Comedy Festival later this month. We chat to Hannah with some comedy interludes from partner Jenno over a video call from Adelaide. Congratulations on your actor for Best Stand-Up Special for Something Special. For anyone who hasn't seen the Netflix show yet, I adore the way that you have a knowing look in your eye right before the audience reacts to something, because that's one of my favorite things to see in a televised routine compared to when I'm sat in the Opera House and potentially I can't see that much of your eye flickering movement. I'm really glad that you've continued to have some of these shows on screen.
That's why I'm bringing this new show that I'm doing. We deliberately chose smaller rooms just so people could see that eye work I do. It really is, it's wasted on the big rooms. Like, I am all eyes. I had laser eye surgery so we could remove the glasses and just be eyes. So we can look forward to that, more eyes.
We will talk about your upcoming Netflix show because I really would like to. But for anyone who hasn't seen Something Special, congratulations to you and Jenno.
Meant congratulations to the people who didn't see it.
No, sorry. Congratulations, because it really was exactly what you said it would be, a feel-good show that we deserved. Can you describe that wedding cake? Because for anyone who hasn't watched it, they won't know what we're talking about, and I just really want you to describe it again for us, please.
Well, I mean, the cake, this idiosyncratic cake, if you will, came out of the overwhelm of decision that comes with planning a wedding as someone who's never, a couple who never thought about what a wedding would look like. So at the beginning we were thinking, like, there's too many decisions, so we'll just go with our instinct on every single one, because once you start second-guessing, then you need a third guess, a fourth guess, and then other people get involved and it's a mess. So with all these, it was a pandemic wedding, so it was going to be contained. So, it was like, where should we get married? And it's like, under that tree, cool, okay. So then Jenno said, what sort of cake should we have? And I said, shark. So we had a shark cake.
You went with your instinct.
Yeah, we went with the instinct. And the novelty factor was designed so we could trick a Christian baker into making a gay wedding cake. So it was, it's not for a wedding. I'm turning 10, I think the joke was. But it was a shark with teeth, two rows of teeth coming out of the top. It was a beautiful cake. And the wedding toppers, if you will, were two little otters holding hands in the shark's mouth, because that felt right for the moment. We're in a pandemic. No one knows what's what.
A lot has happened since Nanette. I feel like we have to mention the show because it's like there's a before Nanette and an after Nanette. Like, it's such a big change for your career. And you also met your wife.
Correct.
Through that process.
Nanette was our, what would you call that, matchmaker.
What is the biggest difference, do you think, between your life before and after Nanette?
Stability, but also I guess it's a different ratio of stability and instability. My instability now is only existential, whereas before, Nanette, my stability was existential. So, you know, I have to think about my career and what I'm doing in a much different way. My audience is now global, which I still don't think I know how to wrap my head around. And, you know, I'm married. That's huge. What else has changed? We'll throw it to the crowd.
Live somewhere else, you have a different dog.
I have a different dog, yeah.
Is that Jenna? Directly related. Can I say hi?
To the dog, no, she's not here.
No, sorry, to Jenna?
Oh, to Jenna.
No, hey. Yes. Hi. Hi, thank you.
No worries.
Yes, I was sad to hear about Douglas.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I just got a new model a couple of weeks later. I didn't grieve properly. I just said, well, we're going to replace you. I did a Barbara Streisand. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your next show, Woof.
Woof.
I love the title.
Thank you.
Because it makes me say woof in a way that I'm embarrassed about.
There's a lot of different ways you can say woof.
What is it about? Because there's very little information. I know that it will talk about a new hobby of yours.
I don't know where that came from.
That's what's in the press release.
A lot of thoughts, at least one new special interest.
Oh, yes. There's so many new special interests. We've got Barbara Streisand. We've got astrology. There's something else going on in the mix as well. Gardening continues.
Okay, so it's not a hobby. But there is something about potatoes.
Potatoes. I love potatoes. Anyway, look, like I say, the way that we put these things together is it works on the Silicon Valley model. It's not built yet, but let's sell it. So take the press release with a grain of salt there. But the show is,
No, thank you.
Very self-indulgent.
Thank you for explaining that because it makes sense.
Yeah, got to keep it broad, keep the mystery alive. But in a sense, I'm going to be talking about where I am in this world and where the world is. And the word woof is sort of, I don't know if you know this, I'm going to tell you. You know when a dog barks, right? Woof. But there's this particular bark they do, right, which is like, poof. And it's just before they really go off, right? So it's like, poof. And then they go, poof. You know that one? So it's like,
poof. Yeah, sort of. I do, yes.
Well, I feel like the world is at that, poof, and it's about to go off. And I want to talk about that. Through the prism of dogs.
I love it. I love it. And I can't wait to see it. You've recorded this new Netflix show, which is called Hannah Gadsby's Gender Agenda. What can we expect from this variety show? I know it was filmed at Ali Pali in London.
Yeah, I'm really super excited about this. It's the first time I've really promoted a stand-up special that's not about me, and wow, I love it. Look, it was born out of, I guess, a problematic moment of, genderqueer representation on, Netflix. And I wanted to do something constructive, and I didn't want to, have my response to sort of transphobic content to center around transphobic content. So I wanted to create something where we just elevate some voices who just talk about their own experience in their own way and just show as much diversity and nuance about this experience at this, this point during a time when, too many people are talking about it in destructive ways. So it's just, it's seven plus me or, yeah, I can't count. So there's seven other performers on this bill and there's a few from the US and I think the UK, I guess there's me from Australia, Canada. Like there's a bit of a global representation. And they're just super funny. It's a super funny show and I feel like, there's so many individual voices and ways of approaching comedy that I think it'll be really, like, I really want people to watch this, and I really want particularly the communities in which we represent to really have a fun time.
In Something Special, you talk about how you and Jeno share the same language, but sometimes you have some miscommunication with some Americanisms and some Australianisms. I know one of them is the difference between jumper and sweater.
Look, it depends. If I put a jumper on a hot day, I will call it a sweater. Like, I really enjoy being bilingual now. I feel like there's a lot of, you know, I like to accommodate, my spouse lady's what dialect. And, you know, I think there's part of the strength of our relationship is our miscommunication. I don't think we actually understand what we're saying a lot of the time.
Healthy. Those lost in translation moments.
Yeah, we just trust we mean well and keep moving like a shark.
We ask this question of a lot of our guests on this podcast. Are you a morning or a nighttime person?
A morning, which is a cruel, cruel trick for a comedian. Should have been a farmer.
What do you do in the mornings on most mornings?
I have a whole other life. I have hopes and dreams that don't last till the afternoon, you know. I have an efficiency that just falls apart once the rest of the world is awake. So it's almost like I'm being gaslit by my own sort of body clock. What do? I have thoughts. I listen to the news. I take the dog for a walk. Oh, I just sit, but I do it with a better, you know, real vim and vigor.
I'm a big fan of any time you've taught me something or made me think about art history in a different way. I remember watching your ABC show, which is almost a decade ago now, Hannah Gadsby's Oz. I know, but I was surprised too. You also participated in a discussion at Brooklyn Museum on Picasso. Pablomatic. Great title.
Thank you.
Will we get more art history takes from you in the future?
Look, I don't know if you heard, but the Brooklyn Museum wasn't universally loved.
I did hear. I read. I didn't hear. I read about that.
Look, no, it's a different world. I went into this understanding it was going to be a one-off and quite enjoying that. I probably wouldn't have been shit-stirring about the whole thing if I was angling for a future in art. Like, so I took great delight of having that exit strategy in place. But it was a really interesting experience, the backlash included. I didn't so much learn anything from that backlash except that, I know how to do it. I'm really good at it.
You are.
It's real talent.
Are you obsessed with anything right now? Is there anything you just can't stop thinking about?
Barbara Streisand. I read her autobiography late last year. It was incredible. Have you read it? It's incredible.
No.
You should read it. It's really interesting because she's a very idiosyncratic individual whose life, you know, spans the last half of the 20th century in the public eye. And I think the way that fame has, what it has become now, you know, her whole career is sort of in that world. So I found her, it's just, and she's an incredible voice. I listen to the audio book and she clips every consonant on the way through, and it's 1,000 pages. Like, it is a tomb. And she just talks a lot about potatoes. She gives potatoes equal measure to Marlon Brando, and I just really, really
maybe there's a lesson in there for all of us. Maybe we should all be thinking about Marlon Brando with the same reverence as potatoes.
Well, she speaks with high reverence about potatoes. Like, she loves
both very versatile.
Potatoes. Oh yeah, it's a great tuber.
Are you growing anything other than potatoes?
Well, we're running out of the zucchini season as we speak. And then we've got some tomatoes up and coming and herbs. We can't really garden much in the way of edibles because our life is not, you know, often there for the harvest. Got a lot of flowers.
Are you someone who likes to cook at home, or would you prefer to go out for dinner?
No, I don't like going out, and I don't like to cook. It's a really hopeless situation.
When was the last memorable meal you ate? Who were you with? And what did you eat?
Okay. This is an interesting question. I've never been asked this question before. And just the timing of it is quite amazing because last night I went to the Fawlty Towers dinner experience with my mum, and I'm still processing this. What just happened?
If you were to describe this experience, how did your mum react?
Well, she's very excited going in, but I believe she has notes. We haven't gotten to those yet. How would you, like, I'm. It was exactly what we expected and nothing like what we expected. I think.
Thank you, Jenno, for those notes as well, for passing those through the microphone.
Like, we're a collaborating pair. I think I was fully expecting them, the actors to pick, you know, for Mum to become the center of the show because that is her want. And I feel like she was gearing up for that. And that didn't happen, which I'm so happy about. Like, I just was so stressed going in. It's like, she's a loose unit and she's not thinking about her digital footprint, you know? She's not online. So she talks like someone who's never been online, you know? And so that
would be
a
liberating feeling.
That's a recipe, isn't it? It was a good time. It was a good time.
I'm glad that I did ask you that question because I felt as though you were going to say raw carrots standing in the kitchen and just merely eating to survive.
I've had nice meals. Like, I treat myself. anyway, there we go. Basically, I just gave you an answer. It's like, it's unprocessed. It's an unprocessed story.
I know. I don't think I was prepared for the answer either. So I'm so very happy that you did. It is Mardi Gras this weekend in Sydney. When we air this conversation, Mardi Gras will probably have just happened. I know that it's been important to you because it was important to you and you mentioned it within Something Special as being the place that you felt like you saw your people. That's what you were saying. But one of the favorite things that I've remembered from your comedy is you've often asked this question, where are the quiet gays supposed to go?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not in the parade.
The parades always make it feel like it's a homogeneously partying, I love big crowds people. But there are a lot of us in libraries. I see us. I won't be going. I've never been to the Sydney Festival. I don't have FOMO. I've got FOG, fear of joining in. Don't like crowds. I like to consume the archival evidence of these things. But participating in real time feels dangerous. I don't know.
Will you be celebrating in your own way?
Yeah, like I just, big crowds are really difficult. And mass excitement, like even if it's positive, my body doesn't tell the difference between this is, you know, this is an angry mob or this is a happy mob. My body feels the same. It's just like, oof, run away. Maybe
I
need a float.
I can assure you. Yeah, maybe you need your own float. I can assure you that there will be people listening who might identify with that feeling as well. And I think they'll be as comforted to know that they may also be celebrating or marking the moment in a quiet way, not necessarily facing a crowd, and that they're not alone in doing that either.
Yeah, and that way you get to dodge the mulch.
Thank you so much for speaking to us, Hannah. I appreciate the time that you've taken.
My pleasure.
If you're keen to see Hannah Gadsby's new show, Woof, is on in Sydney from March 7 to 17 and at Melbourne Comedy Festival from March 28 to April 20.